Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Getting hired today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us right here on Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Garrett. It's good to have you back. Hopefully, you joined us yesterday as we started this month's career article. This month, we're talking about kind of a contradiction. You might have too many qualifications, too much experience, too many skills to get some jobs. Here to talk about this with me is Heather.
Hello again.
Heather, are we having a good day today?
Always a good day here.
That's great. Well, we're talking about some of the things that an overqualified candidate might need to do in order to get a job. One of them that we talked about a lot yesterday and will continue to today is something called loyalty or commitment. You want to show that you will stick with a company, that you care about them. And I think that's true with all of us in our lives with many different things. So, Heather, is there something that you are particularly loyal to?
I would say one of the things that I'm particularly loyal to is a specific K-pop group.
I really
love the group EXO.
Okay.
You may not have heard of them.
Nope.
Maybe our listeners have heard of them. Their popularity has wavered over the last 10-ish years that they've been around, but I've enjoyed them for at least, I think, the last 10 years. And actually, a few months back, I got to see them when they were here in Taipei.
Oh, cool.
So I was very excited, and I was so loyal to them. I bought tickets for both nights.
Oh, wow.
So
have you bought any of their, like, merchandise?
Oh, yes. If you guys ever came to my house and you went into my office, I have a whole bookshelf filled with their albums, filled with all sorts of merchandise and shirts and things that I've gotten from their events and concerts. So I would say I'm a very committed fan.
I love it. My answer would be actually going to a movie and TV franchise. It is a science fiction kind of franchise or series that starts with the word star. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
So I feel like there's only two options.
That's what most people would think. This one is the third.
The third. Okay.
It's called Stargate.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I am a very loyal, committed fan to this. It all started with a Hollywood movie back in the early 90s. It went on for years and years to have three other TV series. Technically, there was another animated one with that. There have been other online series and also like straight-to-DVD movies.
Hmm.
But the main thing is those original TV shows and movie. I have all 17 seasons and three movies on DVD. And I've watched it through probably, I don't know, five or six times. And so I love it a lot.
That is a commitment. I've heard of Stargate, but I have not partaken. So I'm going to make a note and maybe I'll check it out sometime.
Go for it. Yeah. And for me, it's been mostly off the air for quite a while now. It had gotten canceled off the Sci-Fi Network in favor of like professional wrestling, WWE, which I was very mad about because that's not science fiction. Well, not really.
It's fiction.
Yeah, but even though it's been off for I think more than 15 years now, I always check kind of the fan websites to see what the news is. There are constantly like conventions going on. And there was news within the last year that finally they're getting ready to make a new TV series after the studio was purchased by Amazon. So I am excited.
That's very cool. And hopefully maybe our listeners will watch it whenever it comes out.
Go for it. Yep. You'll get to practice your good English with a fun kind of cheesy science fiction series. Well, friends, we're talking about loyalty and staying loyal to your company or organization. Let's learn more about what you can do as an overqualified candidate as we jump into our first reading.
what to do. So how do you show that? You do it three ways: preparation, positioning, and language. All three work together to shift the employer's perception of you from flight risk to first choice. Hiring managers can tell when a candidate has done their homework, and for experienced professionals, preparation matters even more. You can't rely on your resume to do the convincing. You have to show them that you applied because you chose their company for a specific reason. Many overqualified candidates unintentionally undermine their own commitment by saying things like, "I already have a lot of experience in this area," or "I've done this before," or "This is a good fit for my background." None of these statements signals loyalty. They signal neutrality at best. They say, "I can do this job," not "I want this job."
All right. At the beginning here, a question is brought up, which is something we talked about a decent amount yesterday, is that people hiring, or these, what do we call them, hiring managers, really want to see that a candidate will be committed and loyal to the company, but these people looking for a job haven't started working there yet. How do you show that you're going to be committed? We see you can do that in three ways. What are they?
Preparation, positioning, and language.
All right. So I think we can understand some of what they're talking about based on those words, but let's talk about them. You want to show that you're prepared, right? You know about the company. What do we mean by positioning, though?
I think that one is a little bit more challenging, so maybe you can help me with that. But I'm thinking it's more of just after you prepare, it's a very tricky.
It's a strange word to use here. I almost wonder if they mean like your physical posture in the interview. I could be wrong about that, though. But finally, is your language, just kind of what words do you use? How do you talk about yourself and your interest in that job and the company? So we see all three work together to shift the employer's perception of you from flight risk to first choice. Okay? What do we mean by flight risk?
So when people use the word flight risk, it means someone is going to leave abruptly without any indication or any sort of like goodbye. They just leave abruptly and we don't know where they go.
Yeah, they're a risk of flying away, essentially. And so, of course, a company doesn't want someone who's a flight risk, but you can change their perception of you to first choice, we see, or their first choice to fill that position. Hiring managers can tell when a candidate has done their homework. And for experienced professionals, preparation matters even more. So if you're applying for a job that takes a lot of maybe technical expertise or it's just a more important job, you really do need to prepare. You can't rely on your resume to do the convincing. Let's talk about that word for just a moment. It's the one that I always grew up using, that word resume. But I feel like being on the island here, in conversations with people, I hear the term CV a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard that, Heather.
I have, and I know that there is a difference.
I have heard this.
But I feel like as language is constantly changing, I feel like they're now interchangeable. I feel like a CV was more so very similar to a resume, but is an outline specifically of like the courses that you may have taken in the past.
Okay.
Or things that like you would list that are not necessarily related to jobs, but I could be wrong, audience.
Interesting. So. Yeah, I thought I remembered hearing that a CV is a little bit longer than a resume. Traditionally, a resume is just one page. Anyway, you can't just rely on that resume that you give to the hiring manager. You need to do a bit more convincing. You need to make sure you prepare. It says you have to show them that you applied because you chose their company for a specific reason, right? It's you wanted to be with that company and not a different one that maybe had the same job available.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's continue on here. Many overqualified candidates unintentionally undermine their own commitment by saying things like, what, Heather?
I already have a lot of experience in this area. Or they might say, I've done this before, or I am a good fit because of my background.
Yeah. So is it wrong to say those things? I don't know that it is, but...
I feel like it depends on the delivery of it, because I feel, depending on how it is perceived, it could come off kind of cocky, and I feel like that would alert red flags to employers, because you want someone who will come in and who is adaptable and willing to be teachable and willing to learn. And if they come in feeling like, well, I already know how to do this, it might not be a good culture fit.
Yeah. It does bring to mind kind of the tension that you have in an interview between being really confident and showing that you're someone who's capable and showing that you're humble. I feel like there are maybe some cultural influences on that. Kind of the attitude you should take in an interview in the U.S. might not be the same as at a company in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of figure out what's right. Well, in that last section, we did have one other word to talk about. Heather, can you describe undermining?
So to undermine is to gradually make someone or something less strong or effective.
Okay, yeah. So you get the image of someone kind of digging under a city wall to make it fall down. Well, here we're saying you undermine yourself, or you harm your chances at getting that job by using some of these sentences here. Well, in that last section, we see none of those statements signals loyalty. What do they signal?
It feels like if someone says that, they might just be using this role as like a stepping stone to go elsewhere. So it might be more of a flaky candidate.
Yeah, might be someone who's looking for other opportunities. We also see here they signal neutrality at best. Neutrality is the state of being neutral. So that would be between positive and negative. So at the very best, if you use these sentences, then the company might feel kind of nothing about it. They'll mm-hmm. feel neutral, but at worst, it really would be undermining your chances. So we see at the end here, they say, I can do this job, not I want this job. We're saying if you use those sentences from that last section, you're saying that you're very capable and not that you really want that specific job.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you would use any of those sentences in an interview?
I think it depends on how the interview is going. I think when we go into interviews, we obviously want to show our best self. And so if I'm interviewing with someone and I feel like there's an understanding and we kind of vibe in a way, like, and we're able to feed off of each other's energy, I might feel confident enough to be like, yeah, I do have a background in this role. But if I feel like maybe the interview is going kind of in an uncertain direction, I might just wait and see if I'm asked if I have experience previously in these types of roles.
Yeah. Obviously, in any interview, you'll be talking about your previous experience. It's just about how you use that language.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bring it up? I like what you said. I think you could say these things, be very confident about what you've done, but you can't stop it there. You want to really address this specific job that you're looking at and look toward the future, your future working at that job. And that's exactly what our next section is telling us about. Let's go into that next reading.
Lead with what's next. To keep from accidentally positioning yourself as someone who's just applying to collect a paycheck, you need to stop leading with what you've done and start leading with what you want to do next. That next thing? Make it clear that it's this role. They're not asking to evaluate your ambitions. They're asking to evaluate your loyalty. What they want to hear is simple. I see myself here, doing what the company needs, evolving with the team, staying, contributing, and growing. They want language that says, this is not a temporary stop. This is where I plan to stay. Long-term commitment is what builds trust. It's what gets you hired in a system that assumes people like you, someone experienced, overqualified, and resourceful, will walk away the minute something shinier comes along. The current hiring systems are built to minimize perceived risk. You have to make new assumptions easier to believe. This isn't about playing small. It's about showing commitment, not ambivalence. Collaboration, not superiority. Focus, not distraction. Removing the risk label requires you to own your experience and your intentions at the same time.
All right. In that last section, we had one word that we didn't really understand the usage of here, that word positioning. Well, we see it again at the beginning of this section. To keep from accidentally positioning yourself as someone who's just applying to collect a paycheck, you need to stop leading with what you've done and start leading with what you want to do next. So, Heather, it's quite clear here we're not talking about physical positioning.
No. Upon further looking into this, I believe it means like putting yourself into the mindset of what is, and getting the things that are necessary to make yourself prepared for the role that you are seeking.
Sure. Yeah. It could be positioning from your point of view, or trying to put yourself, trying to shape kind of the perception that the person interviewing you has of you and your potential role as well. So you want to show them that you're not just talking about what you've done in the past, but you want to show them what you're going to do next. What is that next thing? Make it clear that it's this role, the one that you're trying to get right now. You might think of that classic interview question, or even just a speed dating question, like, where do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
That one's always very challenging.
Yeah, it is, because who knows? Maybe very ambitious people would talk about some future job they have. They're going to travel the world or something. But we're seeing here, you want to really focus on this job that you're applying for. It says they're not asking to evaluate your ambitions. Now, that's interesting. I think a lot of people wouldn't think of it that way.
Yeah, I would actually think that they are trying to evaluate your ambitions and see like how you want to grow as a professional. But it seems like that's not the case. They're actually asking to evaluate your loyalty.
Yeah, that's what we see there. They want to know if you will be loyal to the company, if you're going to not only stay at that job and that company for a while, but also really buy into the company culture and values.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they want to hear is simple. I see myself here doing what the company needs, evolving with the team, staying, contributing, and growing. So one of the main things I'm getting from this article is that you really want to focus on what your language and how you talk about things in an interview, kind of what that's portraying to the hiring manager. Well, what do we see next in the next paragraph, Heather?
It says that they want language that shows that this is not a temporary stop, meaning like this is not a placeholder until I find something different, and that this is where I plan to stay, and just showing that you want a long-term commitment with this company.
Yeah, and that long-term commitment builds trust. It's what gets you hired in a system that assumes people like you, someone experienced, overqualified, and resourceful, will walk away the minute something shinier comes along. So we're reminded here that in this article, we're not just talking about anyone looking for a job. Specifically, it's these very talented, experienced, overqualified people. The current hiring systems are built to minimize perceived risk. We talked about that a lot yesterday. Companies don't want to run into, to have a lot of risk. They want to take the safer option. You want to minimize perceived risk. Heather, what is that?
So to perceive is to understand or think of something or someone in a particular way.
Yeah. So again, we're talking about the future. We're talking kind of about guessing at the future. These hiring managers don't know what you will be like once you get that job, but they can perceive what it will be like. They can guess at that risk. You have to make new assumptions easier to believe this isn't about playing small. What do we mean by assumptions here? Whose assumptions?
I think it could be assumptions all around. Maybe I'm misinterpreting it, but assumptions coming from the employer and assumptions coming from the interviewee on how this role is going to go and how their tenure will go at the company.
Yeah, it is interesting looking at that structure in that sentence there. Yeah, of course, everyone makes assumptions, but especially in an interview like this, because you're trying to guess at what things will be like in the future. And it said, this isn't about playing small. What does it mean to play small?
So playing small is an idiom meaning to avoid anything that could cause problems or to make someone uncomfortable and therefore prevent the desired results.
Okay, yeah. So if you're playing small, then maybe you're not taking the big risks that you should. This says this isn't about playing small, even though they are avoiding risk. It's about showing commitment, not ambivalence. Another great word in there. What is ambivalence?
So ambivalence is not being sure whether or not or whether you want or like something.
Okay. To me, it's the word kind of describes just not caring about
like
something.
Like indifference kind of.
Yeah. You might feel ambivalent towards something. I'm trying to think of what I feel ambivalent toward. It could be certain movies or certain foods. There are things that you don't love, you don't hate, you just don't really care.
Yeah, I feel that way a lot about some popular culture. Something that popped in my head was like Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
Like I know people really love that show, but for me, I'm just like, ugh. Very much like middle of the road. Like, I'm glad for everyone who enjoys it, if our audience enjoys that show. But it's very much a blah show to me. So I'm very, if it's on, I will watch it. But I don't particularly care.
Yeah, that's fair. I liked the first couple seasons. But yeah, so we're just using that word here. You don't want to show ambivalence toward this job, of course. You want to show commitment. We see you want to show collaboration. You want to show that you will work well with others and not that you're superior. You don't want to just say, I am the best. I'm going to be running this company in a few years. But you want to show that you'll fit in well with what they are already doing. We have one more thing there. What is it?
Focus, not distraction.
Okay. What do we mean there?
So to be focused on the role at hand and seeing how you will do in that role and your drive and want for that position and not being distracted by other factors that happen within the workplace or maybe even external factors outside of the workplace.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. When it said not distraction, I was thinking about not being a distraction in the workplace once you're there.
I mean, that's also probably helpful.
Yeah, because, yeah, it is interesting to think about that. If you're one of those hiring managers, you're not just looking for someone with those qualifications, but you're looking for someone who's going to fit in well with the company, with kind of the day-to-day interactions, even beyond just doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that is going to be easy to get along with, potentially. Well, we see at the very end here, removing the risk label requires you to own your experience and your intentions. At the same time, Heather, what is a risk label here?
So it's an interesting way to phrase it. How I'm interpreting it is to basically own the fact that, yeah, you do have these varied experiences, and then also being transparent about your intentions with the specific role. That's how I'm interpreting it. Anyway.
Okay, yeah. The label here would be kind of a label put on yourself, maybe with how others perceive you. And so you might have a risk label if you're one of these highly qualified people from the perspective of the hiring manager. But you want to remove that risk label if you're going to get the job. So we see you need to own your experience and your intentions. And at the same time, just like we talked about yesterday, maybe you don't want to be fully transparent about every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so today, yeah, we've talked about all of these different little tricks that you might need to employ if you're looking for a job, you're a little overqualified, you have some good skills or some good experience. For my closing thoughts for us today, though, I would say it could be easy to worry way too much about all of these things. Sometimes going to an interview or going through a long interview process of multiple interviews can be a really stressful thing. And so overthinking it can be a real thing. Take some ideas from these tips, but don't worry about it too much. Go in there, prepare what you're going to say, dress for that job that you want, and then give your best answers. Either way, if you do enough interviews, if you do have good skills, hopefully you'll be able to find a job that is just right for you, no matter what field it's in, from engineering to accounting to something in catering. Who knows? Friends, hopefully you can find that perfect job. Well, thanks for joining us today. That is all the time we have for now. My name is Garrett.
And I'm Heather.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.